The reading is taken from 1 Timothy, starting at chapter 2, which is on page 1191 in the Church Bibles. So that's page 1191, 1 Timothy, starting at chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks you so much, Will. Thanks, Tim, for praying as well. Over the summer, we've been doing a series on prayer, kind of taking a break a little bit from our normal passage-by-passage exposition that we normally do. We're just looking at a topic on prayer. A few weeks ago, we looked at the Lord's Prayer, which showed us that Christians, if you're a Christian today, you have this wonderful privilege of praying to your God and talking to him as your Father in heaven. We pray his priorities, we pray our needs for our daily bread. We are his children. He really cares. He loves to listen to every not so well put together sentence that we pray to him. Isn't that wonderful? Prayer really is a privilege, and to help us pray, some of us might have a prayer list, or you might have a kind of mental prayer list in your head. What kind of people do you pray for? What kind of people are on your prayer list? Here's who's on mine. Got a prayer mate. Let me have a look. So I've got quite a few. I've got four prayers, actually. Four prayers for myself. A couple of prayers for some of you. A couple of prayers for ministry in church and some of my friends and family. But I wonder if, as you heard that passage read, perhaps you think that's a little bit too narrow, the kind of people that I've got on my list. It's actually changed since I've done this passage, but we actually have the privilege as Christians that we can pray for all people. We can pray for all. Have a look at verse 1. You should have that open from the reading. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. All sorts of prayer, specific, general prayers of thanks for all people, for all sorts of people. But when the Apostle Paul says all people, he really does mean all. He'd probably look at my prayer list that I just got out there to read to you, and he'd say, could you add to that prayer list, James? Could you add President Putin, and could you add Keir Starmer, and maybe Donald Trump, because he's still kind of, they call him president, don't they? All even means authorities, even rulers. Have a look at verse 2. Pray for kings and all those in authority. See that? So King Charles, certainly. Governments, you know, the Prime Minister, MPs, definitely, absolutely. But not just governments, all in authority. Do you see that? Local councillors, your CEO, your boss, your child's head teacher, judges, all those in authority. He's writing to people, actually, where this would have been quite countercultural, because he's writing to people who would have had Emperor Nero as their ruler. Now, if you don't know who he is, he was a bad guy. He's the man who had Christians thrown to the dogs, nailed to crosses in his garden, and burned alive. And he's asking him, Paul saying, you should pray even for them. Pray for the Kim Jong-uns of this world. Pray for the Putins of this world, he's saying. All really does mean all. Why are we to pray for all? Well, there's a couple of reasons, but there's one big reason that we're going to focus on today. It's for our godliness. For our godliness. Have a look at verse 2 again. Pray for kings and all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. It basically says, pray that authorities enable peace and quiet for our godliness. That authorities enable peace and quiet for our godliness. Now, this isn't necessarily a quiet life per se, an easy life per se, but even though it'll probably include praying for things like society free from war, general unrest, you know, the riots. We don't want that. That's actually, you can see how that might affect us. It most likely means this. Pray for rulers that they would rule without being an interference to Christians trying to live godly lives. Let me say that again. Pray for rulers that they would rule without being an interference to Christians trying to live godly lives. In other words, pray for rulers that they would rule in such a way that they wouldn't force us to go against our conscience, that we'd have freedom to meet together, to evangelize, to live out our faith in godliness without disturbance from the government. Pray for rulers, pray for peace and quiet for our godliness. I think you can really see how Christians in places like Iran or Sudan or North Korea are earnestly praying these prayers, can't you? I mean, just being a Christian in those countries, isn't that the death penalty, essentially? But even places like Cuba, for example, where it's not illegal to be a Christian, I mean, praying for Christian freedom really would be at the top of their prayer list. I've got a friend who is training with me at the moment at Cornhill. He comes from Cuba. And he said he's going to go back there eventually. But he said, when you can technically have a church in Cuba, that's okay. But it has to be registered. It has to be approved by the government. It's heavily regulated. It's spied on frequently. They're looking for ways to shut you down. That is not peace and quiet from rulers, is it? That's not helping their godliness in any way, shape, or form. Pray for places like that. But what about our nation? What about us? Well, I think we might think that we don't need to pray for rulers in this society. Because we do generally have a lot of freedom to be Christians, to live godly lives. But let's not take this for granted. Let's pray for it to stay this way. Because we do have a lot of freedoms, but you know, it's not so far-fetched to think that they could disappear within a generation, especially when you hear stories that come out of places like Finland in the last couple of years. I might get her name pronunciation wrong. Päivi Räsänen, a Finnish politician, she tweeted, this is a couple of years ago, she tweeted a Bible verse from Romans 1. It was a controversial verse, but it resulted in her a criminal complaint filed against her. 18 months of investigation, 13 hours of interrogation for tweeting a Bible verse. So the way the world is going, you can see how this could easily happen to any one of us, maybe, in the next few years. You know, even now, legislation might be introduced that affects our freedom to speak about Jesus. You might have heard of it, the conversion therapy ban legislation. This isn't really the time or place to kind of go into this now, but ask me a bit more after the service if you want to. But long story short, it's basically quite a good law, apart from the fact that it would likely stop Christians suggesting to people that they must repent of certain behaviours to be Christians. Now, that is not good for the gospel. We would be praying that that wouldn't go through. Praying for rulers to have wisdom. Here and now, in the UK, all over the world, leaders, not just regular Christians, but leaders, well, they really need our prayer. We talked a lot about government, haven't we? But it is kind of all those in authority, all kinds of people who lead. So pray for those running the Royal Holloway University to allow Christian unions to meet and evangelise on campus. You know, pray for churches who hire buildings from secular organisations, that they will be able to keep their permits. They will be able to get permits, these meetings. You know, in my last church, we hired a university lecture hall, actually. And let's just say, certain people on campus didn't exactly go out of their way to help us to be there. I pray for your boss that they'll be able to allow you to block out time for Sundays and Wednesdays so that you can come to meet with God's people. How much is that sometimes a barrier for our godliness? Pray for Christians in leadership too. You know, pray they would not cower to demands of secular society. You can imagine how much pressure that is on them to give in. Pray for them. Pray for all people, even those who rule over us, for our godliness. But what exactly is our prayer for rulers? What is the exact thing that we're praying for? I mean, absolutely, I think what we're getting from this is it's definitely something to do with praying for their wisdom to rule in such a way that we can live godly lives. But I'm convinced that actually the main prayer for rulers is for their salvation. Pray for all, even rulers, to be saved. This is why context is so good in the Bible. This is where we get this from. Easiest way to see this, actually, is if you read this passage, but skip over verse 2, because verse 2 is kind of in brackets, in a sense, how it is grammatically. Read along with me. We're going to skip verse 2 from verse 1. I urge then, first of all, pray for all people. Verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people, same all people, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Our God wants all people to be saved. So how do we please our Saviour God? We pray for all to be saved. Isn't that an implication there? Even rulers, even authorities, you see that? I think the reason we should and can pray for all to be saved is because it reflects the character of God. Verse 4, have a look at verse 4. God our Saviour wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. The point is that there's not one God for the Jews, one God for the Gentiles, one God for the upper class, one God for the middle class, one God for the working class, one God for kings, one for normal people. God is one. There is one God over all sorts of people. And he wants all to be saved. And there's one God and there's one mediator, go-between. Have a look at verse 5 again. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Again, there isn't one mediator between Jesus and kings, another mediator between Jesus and regular people. Jesus died on the cross to pay the ransom for all kinds of people, rich, poor, old, young, those in authority, those not in authority. This is really the heart of God, isn't it, on display? When Jesus died on the cross, who was on his mind? His chosen people, but also the famous and the not so famous. That's what he was thinking about on the cross. So the significant and the not so significant, the people who you pray for and the people we forget to pray for, lost sinners like you, lost sinners like me. So often our society divides and splits people into different classes and ranks and nationalities and cultures, but the wonderful God of this wonderful gospel that we have, well, he doesn't discriminate. He looks across the world and he just levels the playing field, doesn't he? God came to save a people for himself, but made up of sinners from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. That's what's going to be at the end of time, isn't it? It's always been his plan. So that's why it pleases the God who saves when we pray for all to be saved. Pray for Putin to be saved. Have you ever prayed that? Pray for Keir Starmer to be saved. Pray for Rishi Sunak to come to a knowledge of the truth. How wonderful would that be? Pray for your boss. Pray for your CEO, your MP, your counsellor, your head teacher, maybe. For judges, for teachers, for influencers to be saved. Pray for all your friends, your enemies, your co-workers, the postman, that they would come to the feet of Jesus and plead for mercy, for Jesus to forgive them and pay their ransom, to set them free. Our saving God, it really is a God to behold, isn't he? This is good and pleases God, our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Pray for all, even rulers, to be saved for our godliness. Can you see where this is going? This is where we can actually come back to verse 2 and kind of read it in a whole different light. Sure, God does use unbelieving leaders for Christians' benefit. Of course he does. But can you see how much more influential, how much more helpful a Christian leader would be for Christians if we're praying for their salvation? They're going to want to support Christians and allow an environment for the gospel just to flourish, aren't they? That's why I'm convinced that the main prayer that God delights in is for leader salvation here. Imagine if Keir Starmer bowed the knee to Jesus. It would be wonderful for him. Let's not forget that. But secondarily, it would also be great for Christians, wouldn't it? Imagine if Kim Jong-un became a Christian. To see him in heaven would be fantastic. A testament to God's amazing grace. But Bibles would be allowed in, wouldn't they? Churches would open up in North Korea. The proclamation of Jesus would go far and wide with a Christian Kim Jong-un. Pray for all, even rulers, to be saved for our godliness. I think the challenge to all of us is this. How often do you pray for your leaders? I think if you're anything like me, not as much as maybe we should. The fact is we pray, what we pray for, not only reveals what we care about, but the kind of God we worship. How often do you fall in the trap of thinking that our prayers from little old me, you might think, won't change the big things, praying for those big, powerful authority figures? But what a privilege it is that we not only pray to a Father in heaven, who loves to hear every single prayer that we have, but we pray to a God who is the one sovereign Lord of this passage. He's over all. He's powerful enough to act. He's the ruler of rulers. But he's also the indiscriminate, kind, gracious God who's acted in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the ransom for all kinds of people. God is in the business of saving all kinds of people. So of course he wants to hear your prayer for them. Of course we should pray for them. We really can pray for rulers to be saved. I don't know about you, but my heart really has been warmed by our God who just loves to save all. That's the kind of motivating theology behind this. So what a privilege it is then, what a delight to pray for all, even rulers, to be saved for our godliness. Miles is going to come up now to model that for us in a second.